the Gospel according to St. John in chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. Reading down through verse number 6, the Word of the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's a promise that there's a day coming when God says it's over and Jesus will step out. He's coming soon. He said, "If I go, I'll come again." He did go, and He is coming again. Amen. And verse 4, "Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Verse 5, "Thomas saith unto Him, We know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" That's one of the verses in this passage that so often gets missed. We know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? If we don't even know where you're going, how in the world are we supposed to know how to get there? Jesus saith unto him, the whole reason why there is a verse 6 is because of verse 5. Verse 6 is Jesus speaking to Thomas. Thomas's question, "We know not whither Thou goest, how can we know the way," sparked a response from Jesus in verse 6 that gave us one of the greatest and most profound and one of the most memorized and one of the most quoted verses in all of the Bible. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. This is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. It is one that my children have memorized. And last night I did, as I have been doing for the last several months on Saturday night, and sat down and shared the basic premise and thought of my sermon this morning with my girls. I guess I practice on them these days, Brother Scott. And it gives them a window into the message. It also allows me for a time to teach them and to preach unto them without distractions. There are distractions when you come to church. You see, you get to church and all your friends are here and you're happy to be here and your kids like being here so much, some of you have to whip them every Sunday to make them leave. I mean, I've heard folks say, "I want to go to church where they got something for the young people." I never have been to one where they had to whoop them all to make them go home, but that's the kind we got around here. And so I guess we got something for the young people, and because they sure do love being here, and I'm thankful for that. But I sat down with them on Saturday night, and I sat down last night with them, began to share with them this message. And as I did, I told them I would be preaching from this passage. And the three of us quoted these verses from John 14, verses 1 through 6, together as they memorized these over the years as I've taught them to them. And we've repeated them at night and memorized them and tried to get these verses ingrained into their minds. And they began to quote with me these verses of Scripture, and I could begin the verse and let them finish it up. They knew what it said, but then I began to share with them the thought of what I preach on here today. It is a very familiar passage of the Word of God, and verse 6 is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Verse number 6 stands in stark contrast to the world and the way of the world and the mind and the heart of man. It stands in stark contrast to Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25, which both say, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." A man's way is a way of death. Man's way is a way of destruction. The Bible said that the broad is the gate, how broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And so, friend, man's way, his tendency, his natural desire is toward the broad way, the broad path, that, my friend, the path
most traveled, the easy way, the way of the crowd. That is the way that seemeth right unto a man. Brother John mentioned this morning in Sunday school how that the world rejects the reality from the Scriptures that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to God, the only way to be right with God, the only way to escape hell's damnation and flames. I had a man tell me this week that you mean to tell me that just because I don't believe in Jesus, I can live right, I can do right, I can live the right way, I can even go to church, and just because I don't believe in Jesus, that God who has made me and I'm one of His creatures and I'm made in His likeness and His image, and just because I don't believe in Jesus that He'll send me to hell? I said, yes sir, that's exactly right. And friend, it is. You don't go to heaven because of all those other things. Those other things are great blessings God's already bestowed upon you. The only way to get it right with God is to go the way of Jesus Christ. Seems right in you. That, he said, just don't seem right. It really doesn't matter what seems right. What matters is what the Word of God says. And there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way that seems right is the way of death. Proverbs chapter 14, two verses later, in verse number 14 says, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. You know why a man's away from God? You know why a man is filled, my friend, with sin and ungodliness? You know why a man, my friend, has such a wreck and a shipwreck of life? Because he's filled with his own ways. He's doing his own thing. He's walking according to the steps of his own life. But Jeremiah 10 and 23 warned us, oh Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his own steps. But the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, my friend in Haggai, in chapter 1 and verse 5, again in verse number 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. My girls and I have gone over that passage recently. In recent weeks in our Bible studies at night, again and again, I can begin to quote the verse, they'll finish it up. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, the course of your life, the course of action that you take, your behavior, how you live your life, what your system of belief is, consider it. And that is, what a thought you've already put into it is not sufficient. Stop, pause, consider. Make sure you take inventory of who you are, where you are, and where you're going. Realize that you don't know how to direct your own steps. Understand that you don't know the right way to go. Understand that your way and your very best is not enough. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You cannot measure up. Your holiness is not sufficient. And my friend, your way is the way of death. I'm doing my best, preacher. It is at your very best, still insufficient. I'm trying to live right. Your living right is still not enough. I'm trying to be religious. Your religion, your rags, your fig leaf apron, and made of religious efforts will not cover your nakedness. I see your way is the way of death. But Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. If you want to know the way, you'll have to know Jesus. I am the way. My. Not only does the Word teach us that man does not know the way he should go, but Thomas so does, and that he doesn't even know where Jesus is going, and nor does he know the way. And listen, friend, somebody said, I don't know what in the world is the matter with Thomas, but like to me, he would have known Jesus was going back to heaven. What in the world is the matter with Thomas? I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, how about if I was to ask you this morning, maybe you could tell me exactly where heaven is. Maybe you could tell me exactly where heaven is. is. And maybe you could draw for me a road map of how to get there then. Amen. I promise, I said, Lord, I understand you're going back to your father's house, but I don't know where that is, and I don't know how to get there. If I did, I'd go there with you. Thomas is the same one a couple of chapters back. When it came time for Jesus to go back to Jerusalem, they knew if he went to Jerusalem to try to raise, or to find who Thomas thought at the time was a sick Lazarus, and he was already a dead Lazarus. If they went back to Jesus to be killed, and all of his disciples' lives were in danger as well, and Jesus said, the Bible said Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and Thomas said, well, if he's going to go die, let's all just go die with him. And that was negative now, by the way. It was negative, but Thomas was honest. He was saying, if Jesus has got to go die, I'll just go die with him. Wherever he goes, that's where I'll go. And when he says, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I don't know the way, it's not because he's trying to be that difficult or contrary. It's because he wants to go to the Father's house. He don't know where it is. He don't know how to find it. And he don't know what the way is to get there. Amen. And Thomas said, Lord, I want to know where it is. I want to know the route. I want a map. I need some way to figure out how to get there. And Jesus looked back at him and said, Thomas, I am the way. Now listen, I can't tell you exactly where heaven is, but I can tell you how to get there. Amen. Is the way. Somebody said, draw me a map. Would you just look to the cross? There's your map. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Thomas, hey, if you want to get to God, if you want to get to the Lord, if you want to get to the Father's house, it's not in yourself, it's in Jesus. And don't look externally, don't look internally.
Amen. I'm preaching this morning on the way. Amen. And now I've tried before to preach on the way, the truth, and the life. That's way too much preaching to be done in one sermon. And so I'm just trying to preach on the way. And maybe sometime or another else will come back and preach on the truth and preach on the life. But I'm trying right now just to preach on the way. Oh, my friend, first of all, I want to say, I know the way. Know the way, Thomas said, Lord. We know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? You need to know the way, friend. Thomas had the way right before him. He walked with Jesus daily. He sat with him at meals. He listened to the preaching of Jesus himself, and yet he knew not the way. It's not enough to know the preaching. It's not enough to know the preacher. It's not enough to know the church. It's not enough to know religion. That's not enough to know the Bible, friend. You must know the way. And Jesus is the way. It's not enough to have your name on the church roll, hang a baptismal certificate on your wall. It's not enough to know and how to repeat the verses of the Bible. It's not enough to know the songs and the hymn book. You need to know the way. It's not enough to know what it is to be a Baptist. It's not enough to know what it is, my friend, and to know the religions of the world. You need to know the way. Know the way. How many people are sitting on the pews at churches Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, like Thomas, they've been exposed to the teaching and the preaching and the works of God and the miracles of God, yet somehow they still don't know the way? Oh, my friend, hey, the old hymnal said, right, I cannot find the way alone, but I'm so glad with the sweet Holy Ghost, and it can make the preaching of God's word alive. And my friend, he become more than just the way. He also becomes the truth. He also becomes the life. Amen. And that way and that life and that truth becomes real in your life. You need to know the way. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who
Jesus is. You need to know the way. Oh, what a shame it is that so many people don't know the way. They know where the steeple is. They know where the church is. My friend, but they don't know the way. Are you hearing me? They know your life. And the shame of it is they know your life and still don't know the way. Oh, what a crying shame. Brother John finished up the lesson this morning in Sunday school talking about how that we are to show others the way. That we are to share with others the things that God has done in our lives. When someone knows you, they should know the way. Jesus ought to show up in your life and be evident in you. I wonder, friend, do you know the way? How many boys and girls have grown up in Christian homes and been taught the Bible and come to church, memorized verses in Sunday school, sat on the pew while the preacher preached, yet in their hearts they don't know the way? They know religion in their heads, but they don't know relationship with Christ in their hearts. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. I want my girls to hear my preaching this morning. I don't want them to listen well. Daddy being a preacher won't save you. Mama praying for your soul won't save you. If you knew how many times Mom and Dad have prayed over your souls, it would, my friend, blow your mind. The youngest God is one who can save you. Jesus is the way. Daddy's very feeble. When I was a kid, I thought my daddy was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Now my daddy's getting older. He's got gray in his hair. And if he goes a day without shaving, he looks rough. Everything here is gray. All this stuff up here ain't near as gray as this stuff around here. On his face, it's amazing. He's not strong as he used to be. That can't work as long as hard. Had to do as much as what I thought he used to. See, now when I was a kid, he was a mountain and I was just a little mouse. But I figured out as time's gone by that my daddy's only strong in the Lord and he can never save me. My daddy's the best Christian man that I've ever known. But my daddy could not save me. But I'm so glad he showed me the way. Amen. I'm glad I know the way. The way is in Jesus. You need to know the way. Hey, you don't hear this preacher, you do some. But not this preacher you don't hear preaching on what it is to be a Baptist. I've never taken my text on what it means to be a Baptist, what it means to be a Methodist, what it means to be Pentecostal. You've never heard this preacher preach on that. Nor will you ever hear this preacher preach on that. I'm not interested in making you a Baptist. I'm not interested in making you a church member. I'm interested in you knowing the way. There's a lot of Baptists on their way to hell. More of them, I think, than what there is on their way to heaven. And my friend, the rest of them maybe is even in worse shape. But I'm telling you, you need to know the way. The way. Know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
It's not the Pope. It's not the preacher. My friend, it's not the religion. It's not your good works. It's Jesus. He's the way. You need to know the way. You need to know the way of salvation. Jesus speaks of Himself in this verse in the context of how to get to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. As we talk about the way to get to God, the way to get right with God, the way of salvation. Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in water. There's no salvation in works. There's no salvation in wealth. There's no salvation in wisdom. Salvation is only in the Savior. Amen. That's why He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Salvation's in the Savior. Now believe in God and believe also in His Son. And know the way. And Jesus is the way to salvation. And my friend, you need to know the way of salvation, but you need to know the way to heaven. Jesus is talking about going to heaven in these verses. In verse 2, not only was He talking about the way to the Father, but the way to the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He speaks of the Father's house. He speaks
speaking of the way to heaven. My friend Jesus talks about the mansions, the wonders of the Father's house, His journey back to heaven, and His plan to bring all the saved with Him to that place. He only makes one condition, friend. He hinges these promises on one thing, and that is the only way to get there is through Him. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but many are trying to get there some other way. But John chapter 10 and verse 1 teaches us that the man that tries to come in some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. He'll be treated as an intruder and will not be welcomed into the Father's house. They will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works?" But He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." I'm telling you, friend, you need to know the way to heaven, and Jesus is the way.
Know the way to salvation, know the way to heaven. You need to know the way to joy. This world is so sad. This world is so pitiful. But chapter 15, if you're holding your Bibles open, look over on the next page. Chapter 15, this is one continuous sermon Jesus is preaching all the way through these chapters. And in chapter number 15 and verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You know where joy came from? You know the way to joy? It's through Jesus. Amen. I've given you these things. I've said what I've said to you, that you might have my joy in you, that you might have fullness of joy in you. He came that we might have life, and have life more abundantly. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Friend, I'm thankful that Jesus is the way to joy. Happiness comes from circumstances, but joy comes from Christ. And I'm thankful to know joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Amen. I'm telling you, the world doesn't know it. The devil can't give it. And my friend, the bottle can't offer it. But I've got it. Amen. I know the way to joy. While folks are hanging themselves, jumping off of bridges, shooting up places, my friend, attacking and assassinating. I was listening to the news this morning about the little fella that went crazy and shot the congresswoman out there, my friend, out west, and the judge, and killed that 9-year-old girl. I'm not saying a madman, mental troubles, her struggles, hey. But I'm telling you, there's joy to be having Jesus. The world doesn't know it, and the world cannot give it. But I'm glad I know the way to joy.
Amen.
I know the way to joy. You need to know the way to joy, the way to salvation, the way to heaven. You need to know the way to peace. Look at verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." How troubled are the hearts of people in this world? They cry peace and safety, but they don't have none. Sudden destruction coming. They cry peace, peace, when there is no peace, the Bible says. Oh, look in verse 27, chapter 14. It said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." Woo! "Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." He'll give you peace, friend. Oh, thank God. Hey, hey, we have peace with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. When He came to earth, you know what they said? Goodwill, peace toward peace, goodwill toward men. I tell you, it's God bringing peace to man. Man doesn't know peace without knowing Jesus. But I'm glad I know the way this morning. I know the way. I know the way. I know the way to peace. It's not through the world. It's not through the pleasures of the world. The world is filled with troubles. But Jesus is the way to peace.
Amen.
He is our peace, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition that did separate us from God, and who had made it wither of twain one new man, abolishing the enmity contained in ordinances. Hallelujah. The law that is stacked against us, Christ became the curse of that law, took in His body on the tree all of our sins. I thank God. And now's right.
us with God. By Himself, I say, hath reconciled us unto God. I bless the sweet name of the Lord. I tell you, He's the way to peace. He's the way to peace.
Right. Amen. I used to sing when I was a lad of a boy around the church house, "The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You." And that's right, ain't it? Know the way. You need to know the way this morning. Secondly, I'm going to share this with you quickly. You need to go the way. It's not enough to know the way if you don't go the way. Amen? That's exactly right. How many people have known the way, but they've never gone the way? They've known the way. They heard about it. They've told about it. The Holy Spirit even dealt with their hearts and conviction and drew them unto the way. God revealed Himself unto them, yet they had not gone that way. What a shame it is to know the way and not go the way. What a shame it is to die and go to hell off a bar stool. How much sadder it is if folks are dying and going to hell off a church pew. Amen. They know the way, but they won't go the way. How many people has God stirred their heart toward Himself through the preaching and through the songs of Zion and through the prayers and teaching of Sunday school teachers and mom and dad, and yet they stiffen up their necks and harden their hearts and said, "No, I will not go. I mean, fin in order for Rebecca to get married to Isaac." There was a question she had to answer, and they asked her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." That's what the Lord's asking you if you need to be saved. Will thou go with this man? And if you'll get saved, you'll have to say, "I will go." It's not enough just to know the way. You've got to go the way. Amen. Not everybody that was listening to Jesus preach in John 14 got saved. Not everybody that heard the message in John 14 got right with God. Oh, my friend, many of them. Hey, many of them procrastinated until a later day before they were converted. Some of them would not hear the message at all. Judas Iscariot walked with our Lord every single day for 2 years. My friend ate at the table with Him, saw the many miracles. He had known the way, but he would not go the way. Oh, what a shame it is, friend. When you know, you also have to go. Hey, friend, you need to go the way of His Word. He said in chapter 14, verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love Me, he'll keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me cannot keepeth not My sayings. And the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me." You see, the reality is that obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, for a heart that would be totally obedient to the Word of God. Go the way for him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And know the way, and go the way of the Word. You need to go the way of the Word. You must go the way of His will for your life. Chapter 15, verse number 4. Again, all this is the same sermon from Jesus. Look at chapter 15 of John, verse 4. "Abide in Me, and I in you." We preached on this recently. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in Me." Or except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." You see, friend, we need to go the way of His will. If you'll abide in Him, that is, if you'll abide in His will, His Word, if you'll let God have His perfect purpose in your life, if you'll let God work in your life as He sees fit, there's a great blessing in following the will of God. When you pray in the will of God, God answers with miracles. You can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. We must know the way, and then we must go the way of His will. Go the way of the Word. Go the way of His will. You need to go the way of His wisdom.
chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. Look what it says. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Notice that last phrase. Will manifest myself to him. His wisdom is the revelation of God. Isaiah chapter 28 says that he reveals himself unto us, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I will manifest myself to him. I get questions throughout the week, emails, calls, texts. What about this passage where it says this? What do you think this means, preacher? I get calls, emails, texts throughout the week. Someone said, I've been studying on this. And let me tell you what the Lord has done in my life and how God showed himself to me through the scriptures. You know what that is? That's a hearing and receiving, and my friend is seeing the manifestation of God. He's manifesting himself to you. And when God shows you those things, you must go the way of his wisdom and follow his word. Obey what he said. He signed the light of the word in front of you. That light, my friend, that word that's like a lamp unto my feet and the light into my path. Now walk in the light as he is in the light. And my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, said 1 John 1 and 7. I mean, walk in the light that's been given you. Let this word be a light into your path. Let him show you the way. And when you know the way, then go the way.
Amen.
What a shame it is. Right now, on people's hearts, you can think of something in your heart and mind that the Lord has revealed and manifested unto you of His wisdom. Things that you know not to do, but yet you're doing. Things that you know to do, but yet you're failing to do. And you're being disobedient. And you know the way, but you're not going the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm preaching on the way this morning. Know the way, go the way. And I'm closing with this. It's time we show the way. It's time we show the way. Brother John finished up the Sunday school lesson this morning talking about how we needed to show others the importance of the way into the church, the way into God, the way to know Jesus. These things that we need to show the way. I wonder when people look at your lives, do they see the way? The way is Jesus. When they look at your lives, does your life show the way? Does your life manifest Christ? Does your life tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to show the way. Show it to your family. I mean, I want my family to be saved. I want my children to know the way. I want to show my children the way. Matter of fact, I don't mean to be or sound selfish, and maybe that's what this is. But I want to show my children the way more than I want to show anybody the way. I've had folks, some folks say, I want my kids to make their own decisions. I don't want them to receive any information outside of what they gather along the way, make their own decisions, their own choices. I want to tell you, I want to show my children the way more than anybody. I mean, I want to show my children what it is to be saved and be a Christian and walk with God and to know Jesus. I want to show my family the way. I love to tell them the story. Some folks, they say, oh, we just don't have the time, maybe not the discipline, and maybe they just don't enjoy having their family devotions. I get a thrill out of it. It keeps me up late at night. Oh, about time I get done preaching to my young'uns and telling them how much I love Jesus, how good it is to be saved, talking to them about the Bible, I usually it'll be another hour before I come back down off the mountaintop. Amen. I mean, it's a joy to me to get to share with my children the blessed gospel. And sometimes we start to bed at 8:30 or 9, and they get to bed at 10:30 or 11, and we're still just in there on the bed quoting scriptures and talking about Jesus and weeping and crying and shouting. I tell you, it's good to be saved. I want to show my family the way. I want to show my friends the way. Everybody that I love, I want them to know the way. I want to tell them the story. I love
to tell the story of my friend of Jesus. I try to share with my co-workers. I share with my supervisors. I've been fired for it before, but I make more money now than I did then. So I reckon God knows how to take care of me. Amen. So I'll just keep telling the blessed old story. I want to show the way. I try to have wisdom about it. By the way, I don't understand folks who need to beat somebody else up all the time with it anyway. Being saved ain't about getting beat up. It's about getting born again. Amen. That's exactly right. What I had to share is joy unspeakable and full of glory. What so is in my heart, everybody want to know about it. If they can really see what it is. Amen. I'm more interested in you knowing God than what I am in you quitting whatever it is you're doing. If you know the way like I know the way, if you'd have Jesus living in you like I got Him living in me, you'd quit all that stuff you need to quit without somebody necessarily having to beat you up over it anyhow. Amen. I'm telling you, I want folks to know the way, and so I try to show the way.
I want to show my friends, I want to show my family, I want to show them that's afar off. Acts 2 and 39 said, this promise unto you and your children and to them which are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I mean, there's people I don't know. I want to show them the way. The reason why I load up on Saturday nights instead of being with my family in such a lot of times and drive 3-4 hours one way and to preach and then come back and preach on the next Sunday morning, sometimes getting in just in time to get a couple of hours of sleep before Sunday morning cracks around and to preach and sing again and to go to prisons and such and preaching in the end that others don't even want to talk to, deal with, that society's cast aside, is because I want to show them that are far off the way. I mean, the reason why I support missionaries, the reason why our church prays for missionaries, the reason why that we have a burden for these men, is because we want to show the way to people that we'll never even know or see or meet. I mean, I received a letter this week, I meant to bring it, forgot it, going to try to bring it, share with you next Sunday. Received letters this week from Jesse Nation down in St. Lucia to praising God for how God had finally lifted some of the burden for him and had opened some doors, and God was saving sinners and using their ministry and working in their lives. And some of you remember how they lost their residency status and ended up having to go to a country where they knew nobody, start over again, feel like the ministry was over, burden of the work on his heavy on his shoulder. But God, my friend, has sent the sunshine to break through the clouds and let the Lord work in their lives. I received a letter from my brother German Rivera, and the first line was, praise the Lord, He's lifted me from my sick bed again to serve Him and preach the gospel. Oh, and it encouraged my heart. I want to show those that are far off the way to Jesus, the way to God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I love to tell the story.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm finishing with this. During the winter of 1866, Arabella Catherine Hankey became seriously ill. She'd been a great champion for Christ, teaching Sunday school since she was just a small girl, leading a ladies' Bible study in a factory in London since she was 18. She traveled to Africa during her brother's illness and had there been burdened greatly for getting the gospel to foreign lands. But with her illness, physicians had warned her to trim down her evangelistic efforts. Due to health concerns, she was restricted to bed rest for an entire year. From her sick bed in her 30s, she wrote a 100-stanza poem sharing her burden for evangelism. The poem was titled The Old, Old Story. 100 stanzas. Later, her poem was set to music, giving birth to 2 separate legendary hymns. The first one was The Old, Old Story. Tell me the old, old story. And later, William G. Fisher set the second part of Katie's poem to music, giving us the wonderful hymnal that's still in our hymn books. I love to tell the story. It was greatly used of God in the Moody revivals, and it's still a blessing.
I love to tell the
story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is the reason I share it now with thee. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like all the rest. Oh, I bless His name for that phrase. One of my favorites from the song. I've heard it a million times, and I'm still hungering and thirsting to hear that blessed old story that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my fame and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. Know the way, go the way, show the way. Jesus said, I am the way. It's the stand this morning. Sister Thompson, come to the piano, please. Get your hymn books and turn to 323. Let's sing, I Love to Tell a Story. Amen, amen, amen. 323, I Love to Tell the Story. Brother John, come around and leave this. My voice is about gone, if you will, please, sir. 323, I Love to Tell the Story. Somebody said, why do you keep going and preaching again and again? You know what old booger man sometimes tell you? You're crazy if you keep preaching the same people. You've preached to them same people now for 16 years and they're not listening no more. And they're not paying attention. They probably don't even want to hear you. And they know everything you know already because you didn't know much to start with. And especially if I start preaching a sermon like I have this morning on a message from a verse where I've preached from a lot of times. Maybe I didn't preach this message, but I preached from this verse a lot of times, and I hadn't delivered anything to you, the groundbreaking, earth-shattering, brand new, you never heard of before. And if I did, it wouldn't be true anyways. And the devil will say, why do you even go back and keep preaching that same old crowd, that same old story, and that same old stuff? Because I love to tell the story to those who know it best, who seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Oh, my friend, I don't get tired of telling this story. And I tell it again and again. For 21 years now, I've been telling the story. I've been preaching the story. I've been singing the story. And I've got news from you for you 10 million years from now. You know what I'll still be talking about? I'll still be talking about this same blessed story. 'Twill be my fame and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. So let's sing 323 this morning. If you need to pray, if you don't know the way, not going the way, need to show the way, would you come and sing?
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing like nothing else can do.
Sing that last verse. That's the one that I love. And it is, maybe this verse is for me.
Maybe this is what the Lord showed me to help me. But if there's anything that defeats me sometimes, is to let the booger man get on my shoulder enough to say, they don't want to hear you preach that again. And they're really not interested in you. And best thing you can do is hurry up and get it done and get it over with and preach short and get them people out of church because they've already heard everything you know anyhow. And I get burdened. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you listen to enough of that from the old booger man, you lose your burden to tell it to somebody because you think they don't want to hear it anyway. But I love to tell the story. And I know something else. I love to tell a story to those who know it best. I know something else. If you're right with God, you're hungry and thirsting to hear it just like all the rest. Oh my. How many all the years I've been hearing this story. And yet when the man of God stands to preach the Word of God, Brother John, there's something flip-flops in my heart and flutters down in my soul, and I say, yes, tell me again. Tell me again about Jesus. Tell me again that blessed old story. Oh, my, it motivates me and moves me to hear it again, to tell it again, to share it again, and to fall in love with it all over again. Let's sing that last verse now. I love to tell so. For those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Know the way, go the way, show the way. I wonder who will you tell about Jesus today? Who will you show Jesus today? Will you show Him? As He's manifested Himself unto you, will you manifest Him unto others in your life? I love to tell the story. Well, we'll start at 15 till 5 tonight. Prayer. Worship service at 5 o'clock. It's cold. I know that. It's cold at home too, isn't it? Matter of fact, if you've got a place where it ain't cold, you let me know about it. And I'll just go there instead of going home this afternoon if it's not too far. Somebody said something about this thing about moving up north. If anything, I'm thinking about moving down south. Matter of fact, if all of you would go with me, we'd just shift things and move it down south a little bit. Put in my resume, maybe some of them churches down around, I don't know, Valdosta or something or other where it's warm. And Brother John sent me a text message and said he heard tell Honduras is nice this time of year. And it probably is. It's hot and cold out there. So I'm not going to stand at the back door in the wind. I'm wet with sweat. It wouldn't be wise to do so. I do appreciate everybody coming. If you want to shake hands with the man of God, come up front because I'd love to shake hands with you. I just know better to get sick. So I hope you'll understand that and appreciate that. Tonight, 15 to 5, worship service at 5 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7:30. Fellowship and you can be dismissed.